So how important is music to you? How much does it impact on your everyday life? Matching your mood, maybe, or just providing the soundtrack to your day-to-day business? Can the same be said for our ape relatives? And what can studying their reactions to music actually tell us about ourselves? Dr. Emma Wallace, now of York University and a graduate of Cambridge University, spoke to me earlier in the week following the publication of a study which addressed these and many other questions. And after a very busy few days of interviews when the story first appeared in the media, Emma started by saying she was still delighted to take Cambridge 105's call.
I felt a bit sad last Friday because I'd had Wednesday and Thursday of people constantly phoning me and emailing me saying, hello, I'm this person from this news thing in this country. We want to talk to you. And, you know, BBC Breakfast were thinking about whether or not they wanted me on the sofa and all these really exciting things. And then Friday was like, oh, I haven't got any emails. Nobody loves me.
So you must have been delighted when my message came through.
Yes, I was. I was like, yay, more fame.
It's another chance to talk about this fascinating study. Tell us, where did this idea come from? How long have you been studying apes, and in particular, this idea of studying their reaction to music?
Sure. So I actually started working with the idea of apes and music back when I was doing my master's research. I wanted to look into sort of new-ish forms of enrichment for captive apes to improve their welfare. And I looked into, you know, whether music had been used in zoos that much previously. And I found some evidence, but it was all a little bit confusing. There wasn't really a sort of clear answer as to whether or not it was actually enriching. So I started playing classical music to gibbons. And yep.
A sensible place to start.
Why not? Why not? You gotta start somewhere. And the interesting thing that we found was that the eight individuals that we studied, they were in two separate family groups. They all reacted ever so slightly differently to the music. Overall, there wasn't a sort of obvious preference or dislike for the music, but some individuals showed higher rates of behaviors that would kind of indicate anxiety when the music was playing, whereas some actually showed reduced levels of anxiety behaviors. So this kind of suggested that it was worth further investigation, but also it's kind of really supporting the idea that enrichment for animals in zoos is something that should be considered more on an individual level, in the same way as you wouldn't assume that all humans like the same things.
Yes, I was about to say, it's a similar idea, isn't it? That exactly. I guess we don't all like the same music, so we shouldn't expect apes to all react in the same way.
Exactly, yeah.
So you're working as part of the University of York, aren't you, at the moment? But where were the apes that you actually studied?
They were all based at Edinburgh Zoo. There's a fantastic enclosure up there called Budongo Trail. It's named after the Budongo Forest out in Uganda because Edinburgh Zoo has very strong links with the research and the conservation that's done out there in Uganda. And it's a fantastic enclosure. They've currently got 18 chimps. What my favourite chimp passed away from old age a couple of months ago. It was really sad, but, you know, she'd had a long life, so it was understandable. So they've got 18 chimps there, including a youngster, and it's a fantastically designed enclosure. It's got lots of different areas within the enclosure. They're all connected by tunnels. It's a little bit like different rooms in a house. So it means that the chimps can split up into smaller groups and they can hide from one another if they want to. And it really allows them to display their fission fusion dynamics that they would do out in the wild. So it's probably one of the best enclosures for animal welfare and also for studying chimps, probably in Europe.
Right, so did you actually have to go to Edinburgh to do this research then?
Yeah, I did, right. I lived up there for 2 years on and off, and I'd spend sort of 4 or 5 months at a time up there, usually in the winter, unfortunately. Oh. Yeah, not when it was sunny or when the Edinburgh Festival was on or when any of the fun stuff was. No, January, February time when there's about 3.5 hours of daylight a day, but it was good. It meant it was quieter at the zoo, so it was easier to get work done.
Now, let me ask, though, you said you use classical music there, and I know that your study was part of a sort of group of studies, wasn't it, that all looked into various effects of music. What sort of differences did the other types of study find when they use, say, pop music, for example? There's a lot of talk in the media of Adele and Justin Bieber being played to apes. How do they react to that?
Yeah, so I'll start by saying why we chose the two different types of music. We had in the sort of the larger studies with the chimps, we had both classical and pop music, and that's because in zoos that seems to be the most commonly used forms of music as enrichment. So a lot of zoos think that, you know, classical music, because it's sort of slow and relaxing and blah, 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 it's going to be positive for the chimps. But equally, a lot of zoos have radios for the keepers that they are listening to music while they're going about their daily jobs. So those are the kind of the most frequently used types of music that chimps are likely to be exposed to within a zoo setting. So we chose to use those two forms of music. And actually, the chimps, they kind of reacted pretty much exactly the same to both types of music. There wasn't really an awful lot of reaction. They didn't seem to particularly hate the music, but equally they weren't loving it either. The only significant result that we did find, which is a slightly strange result, and we can't entirely interpret it, but we've got a theory as to why possibly it might happen, but chimps were significantly more likely to enter an area where music was playing when that music had a lower number of beats per minute, and they were significantly more likely to exit when the music had a higher number of beats per minute. So you could say that the pop rock music was the music with the higher number of beats per minute. It could be that something to do with having a faster tempo could be causing the chimps to want to avoid the music, potentially. And there is a theory that, that we've postulated, it could be something to do with drumming that chimps use in their aggressive displays, because males in the wild and also at Edinburgh, they will frequently drum on wooden surfaces like tree buttresses or wood in the enclosure, and make a sort of very loud drumming noise, and it's usually very fast tempo, that kind of thing.
It tells everyone to get out.
Well, it's just sort of like a look at me, I'm big, I'm scary, you don't want to mess with me while I'm angry kind of thing.
Yeah.
So maybe the faster tempo was sort of suggesting to the chimps something along those lines. But equally, we didn't find that when you just looked at the pop music, they weren't spending any less time in the enclosure where the music was being played when the pop was on than when it wasn't.
Yeah.
So we're not really entirely sure how to interpret that result.
No.
But it's an interesting result.
It is, and it's interesting that the press picked up so much on this Adele and Justin Bieber angle.
Yes,
Do you know if they gave a quote in response to the study?
Oh, I haven't heard anything. I'm quite glad that I haven't been hunted down and lynched by an angry mob of Beliebers. I was quite worried about that possibly happening, but I suppose at least it's scientifically proven that they don't like...
Yes.
And it's not, I didn't say that they hate him. I mean, the media may have slightly changed my words and said that. But so far I'm still in one piece, but we'll see.
Well, that's good. I mean, were you surprised by the amount of media interest in this story? I mean, you mentioned at the beginning there about, you know, BBC Breakfast giving you a ring. Were you going to come on the sofa? And you had media institutions from all over the world actually getting in touch with you. Was it bigger than you expected? And that's before we even think about Cambridge 105 getting.
Well, yes, of course. I mean, this is the thing that I was not expecting at all. I'm completely bowled over by this. I have to say, there's a little part of me that kind of was expecting it.
Okay.
Just purely because my PhD supervisor has done some research in the past. I don't know if you or any of the listeners have heard, it was research also done with the Edinburgh chimps about chimps changing their accent over food items.
Okay.
It was something that, you know, was quite big in the media, and that was shown on BBC Breakfast. It was on Newsround, and again, it was all over radio and newspaper articles. So I was kind of hoping that my research would do as well as that. And we didn't make it to TV, but, you know, I did a lot more radio interviews, and it was in pretty much all of the national newspapers. So I feel like I've still done quite well. I feel like I can be proud of myself.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And do you feel did they report you accurately, or do you feel some of what was reported was a little bit twisted?
It was a little bit twisted, but that's always going to happen when you're talking with, you know, national media, and when you send out a one page long press release and people run things without actually directly speaking to me. Mm. It's fine. It was just some of the things, like some articles ran with the King Louis thing from the Jungle Book, saying, right, oh yeah, King Louis shouldn't have been singing because apes don't like music. And then mostly talked about orangutans.
Yeah.
And yes, I did briefly mention that there was other research done by other scientists last year that involved orangutans, but our research was about chimps. Mm. So that was slightly irritating. And then a lot of news outlets did pick up on that one significant result about the, you know, the number of beats per minute with entering and exiting.
Yeah.
And trying to like really hammer that point home. And there was quite a lot of hyperbole as well, but at the end of the day, it's just nice that it's in the media, and the kind of people who we really wanted to read the actual scientific paper, hopefully they will have heard about it and they will go ahead and read it. And one of the reasons that we wanted it to get out in the media so much is because we feel that this does actually have real world applications for chimpanzees in zoos. And we kind of want to get the message across to people who do work with chimps in zoos, to try and suggest to them that music isn't something that they should be using regularly as a form of enrichment.
Yes, because I think you pointed out in the article I read, for example, that it's important that they have the ability to get away from the music as well and have silence if that's what they'd prefer.
Exactly.
So that's a big implication from the study, really, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, that's the reason why I bothered doing this. You know, it's all fun and games to be able to say, oh, yes, I work with chimpanzees and I play the music. Ha ha ha. Isn't that fun? And then, you know, people go, oh, that sounds like a fun job. What a waste of taxpayers' money for funding research and all that sort of stuff. But there is actually a really good reason for doing it. And that would be it. And then the bonus finding was the possibility that, you know, humans may be the only primates that actually have evolved music appreciation.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you exactly what it tells us necessarily about humans and our relationship with music based on what you found out here. So it sounds like maybe we are the only ones to actually have this idea of musical appreciation.
I think that is pretty much what it is telling us. This, plus the sort of the orangutan research and some other research that's been done in the past, it's sort of piecing together this idea that, you know, other primates really aren't that fussed about music. It's not something that is biologically relevant to them. And there is this theory that human language actually evolved out of sort of humming and wordless chanting, that kind of thing. So it is possible that human language and music appreciation have co-evolved just in the human lineage, which would explain why chimps and other primates don't have this appreciation for music in the same way that we do.
But luckily we do. So we'll put a song on for you now, Emma. What's it going to be? Okay. Adele? Justin Bieber? Something like that?
I think I've heard enough of those over the past couple of years. Thank you.
Emma, thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks, bye. That was Dr. Emma Wallace speaking to me earlier in the week about her fascinating study to do with primates and their musical preferences.